This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so this is Laureen Capen, and we're having our safeguards and sub-team call on the competition, the consumer choice and consumer trust review team. I think it would be helpful, since we are now just on the phone without a web interface, to just do a roll call so I know exactly who's on the phone, and we can proceed from there. So I've identified myself. If folks can identify themselves on the phone, that would be great.
So this is
Laureen. Laureen, if you wish, maybe I can introduce who is on the call, otherwise we are going to all talk at the same time.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you. That's a much more elegant solution. Thank you, Jean-Baptiste.
Yes, so Laureen, from the review team, so we have on the call today Carlton Samuel, David Taylor, Jamie Hedlund, yourself, and from supporting staff, we have Brenda Brewer, Antonita Mangiacotti, Brian Etchison, and Steve Conte, and myself.
Okay, great. Then I think we should proceed. And I believe, David, you are going to be presenting your latest and greatest versions of recommendations 40, 41, and 42. And for everyone on the phone, David has sent those around. It should be rather high in your inboxes because David sent it around very recently. So even though we don't have a screen,
correction
you
on that, Laureen.
Look at that.
I only sent it to Jean-Baptiste. Sorry, David here. Sorry, I only sent it to Jean-Baptiste and you because I thought Jean-Baptiste. I thought we were back in Adobe and he'd be able to project it, so I didn't send it. Maybe Jean-Baptiste wants to circulate it so everyone can open it. Sorry, I should have.
Yeah,
he may have
already.
Already
done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jean-Baptiste, in his usually ultra-efficient way, has already done that. So so I think everyone has access.
Does everyone have access okay? I'll take the silence as a yes.
Okay, cool.
So then I'll hand the baton over to you.
Okay, all right. Sorry. It's quite hard, isn't it, this, when you're on a call like this and you can't put hands up and do it in a nice orderly fashion?
It is very difficult.
It is. Makes it a little bit more challenging, shall we say. Where are we? So further to, we had our last safeguard subgroup meeting and the plenary before ICANN 61, and then I had quite a few discussions during ICANN 61 on these recommendations and basically trying to figure out how we're going to deal with the fact that the RPM working group is ongoing, looking at the URS and the Trademark Clearinghouse, which is recommendation 41 and 42, and update the wording in that, because the wording has been fairly standard since we started this two and a bit years ago, because we weren't sure whether we'd finish first or they'd finish first. So it's been trying to sort of get a suitable set of words in there which covers it, which I've sought to do, and then also on the recommendation 40, which is the impact study, we wanted and we agreed that we'd just mention a little bit more about the statistically significant response rate, which is just to bring that into the actual recommendation. It's in the paper, but wasn't specifically in the recommendation. So that's that. And then the only other point I'd say as well is what we did talk about on the plenary last time. So maybe Laureen, I don't know what was decided actually, because I remember I suggested that I can't remember which the recommendations were, but because we've got the rationale, people weren't reading the rationale, they were just reading the recommendation and then saying that things were missing. So I'd suggested we maybe tried to bring in some of the rationale into the recommendation, and that was in the DNS abuse one. So I think Drew was rewording that. But I didn't know, there was then a comment, I think it was from Carlton, very rightly, saying, does that mean we're doing that across the board? I don't know that there was a complete groan of silence when somebody thought we're going to have to do this across the board, or whether that's actually something which we were thinking of doing, or whether we're just going to stick to some small amendments on certain recommendations where we thought it was pertinent. I don't know whether there was an agreement on that. So I haven't, basically on my side, I've left the rationale and related findings separate, but I could integrate them if need be. So that was my point on that. So if you want me to run through these, I've put them on there. You've got the old recommendation, which isn't highlighted, and the new recommendation with the amended wording, which is highlighted, and I've put them in yellow there. So the recommendation 40 amended is a very simple one, where we've just brought in there, instead of just saying it needs to be more user-friendly, to specify in order to help ensure a higher and more statistically significant response rate. So that's that very small amendment there. Happy to take any questions on that. I think we've actually covered that before, because the main amendments I've been doing is on the other two. So if I move on, flag me afterwards on that one if you want to discuss it. So the old recommendation 41, which effectively was saying that's the full review of the URS and pointing out that there's this PDP ongoing, so that review needs to take on board the findings of that when it's published. So there's some confusion in some of the replies or some of the comments on this as to how the two would integrate. So this is the wording which I've put together, which I'll read out for the sake of it. So since our initial draft recommendation, the PDP review of all RPMs has started reviewing the URS in detail, and this is currently ongoing. Given this ongoing review, the CCTRT recommends that the RPM working group continues its review of the URS and also looks into the interoperability of the URS with the UDRP. Given the current timeline, it would appear that the appropriate time to do so will be when the UDRP review is carried out by the PDP working group, and at this time consideration be given to how it should interoperate with UDRP. I might be able to simplify that. Then the CCTRT has encountered a lack of available data in many respects, and the PDP review appears to also be encountering this issue, and this may well prevent it from drawing firm conclusions. If modifications are not easily identified, then the CCT review team suggests continued monitoring until more data is available for a review at a later date. It is important that future review teams are able to have sufficient data, and thus efforts need to be made to collect this data on an ongoing basis. So, any thoughts, comments, apart from simplify the first paragraph as I reread it? I understand. I'll move on to recommendation 42. So the 42 was where we'd suggested a cost-benefit analysis and review of the clearinghouse and its scope, and that there is amended. So I've retained that first section, cost-benefit analysis of the clearinghouse and its scope, to provide quantifiable information on the costs and benefits associated with it, and then trying to cover it in the same way as recommendation 41. Since our initial draft recommendation, the PDP review has started reviewing the clearinghouse in detail, then we're saying, provided that this PDP review has sufficient data and is able to draw firm conclusions, CCT review team does not consider that an additional review is necessary. However, the CCTRT does still underline its recommendation for a cost-benefit analysis to be carried out in order to help obtain sufficient data for conclusions to be drawn objectively. Such cost-benefit analysis should include, but not necessarily be limited to, looking at cost to brand owners, cost to registries, and cost to registrars of operating with the clearinghouse now and going forward, and look at the interplay with premium pricing. So effectively there I've tried to cover what, there was a couple of comments saying what should the cost-benefit analysis look at, hence putting that in, and I thought the premium pricing mentioned there tied in quite nicely with other sections of our report to make it a little bit cohesive, and that's my attempt at capturing. So open to any questions or thoughts.
David,
well, if even Lorene's silent, then I'm...
No, I'm not silent. Oh, you know.
I was going to say.
Thank you, though.
Thought you got away, didn't you?
I'm sure I'll take that as a compliment. solicitation. This is actually just a minor point. When you, the last line about the interplay with premium pricing, I think it's kind of, it's a little bit vague, and I think you may want to flesh that out and say the interplay between what and what. And I assume you're talking about premium pricing of domain names. It's just a little bit shorthanded, and I would divide that into two sentences just so you're actually spelling out what you mean.
Let's word it then. I did it deliberately vague because the further I go on these things, the more we seem to prescribe. So, but I'm happy to take that point on board. What do you suggest? What should we put the interplay? Is the interplay of the clearinghouse and costs with premium pricing?
Well, I mean, maybe explain it to me a little better because I mean, I know what premium pricing is and. I guess I don't want you to be prescriptive. I mean, I don't want you to be overly prescriptive, but the rest of the sentence actually is very precise, and to me it's more of a precision issue because you're identifying cost to brand owners, cost to registries, cost to registrars of operating within the, you know, trademark clearinghouse now and in the future. Mm. It's only this look at the interplay with premium pricing that I think just dangles there in the, you know, ambiguous sphere. So, if you give me a better sense,
I suppose
of,
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really the interplay with premium pricing and how you've got the issue of it. Go on, Carlton.
I would have thought it means that how the premium pricing impacts all of those other things that you are associated with the trademark here in those costs.
Yep. It's the impact, exactly, the impact of the premium pricing, and also the sort of, there's whole discussions about words being in the clearinghouse, and then they're able to be,
right.
You know, if you're getting notifications on them, and does that have a chilling effect? Does that not have a chilling effect? But then you've got the premium pricing, which exists, where you've had issues with certain brands that have a descriptive term, having to pay large amounts of money for that descriptive term because it's categorized by registry at a premium price, etc. So it's all
so
that
what,
capturing.
So what are is the real concern that when something's in the trademark clearinghouse that somehow gets flagged as a candidate for premium pricing and thus maybe a disincentive or an extra burden, so to speak?
I think it goes many ways because, I mean, if it's in the clearinghouse and someone accesses the data, then they get to see what the brand, you know, sort of the mark, shall we say, so then they can put it as premium pricing in the registry or similar words to it. I mean, there's so much anecdotal evidence around this that I wouldn't want to go either way because I think there's issues for brand owners, but I think, and quite rightly, there's issues the registries and registrars as well. I think the whole premium pricing is, you know, it's a big model that's certainly grown massively, and we've seen that in what we've been looking at. And in many ways, I would argue that a registry today doesn't make us anything near off Sunrise as they thought they would in a previous life. You know, if you look at the Sunrise for .asia, we were 36,000. Of 360,000 Sunrise, and then .eu was something like 3,000, so 30,000. It was a tenth of it, and you know most today are probably sort of between 10 and 100. So the income from the Sunrise has gone way way down, but the income from premium pricing has gone way up. So there's more of a, you know, keenness on the premium pricing as a revenue generator, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. But obviously that ties into the whole competition side. So again, I wouldn't want to make a comment particularly in here that somehow contradicts, or I'd leave it to Jordan to suggest it if you wanted to capture his thoughts on the competition as a summary. We could make a specific reference. I wouldn't mind doing that at all over to the competition. But otherwise, I'd tend to keep it vague, but maybe if you want to tighten it down a little bit.
Right.
We could say the interplay with premium pricing and its impact on cost, for instance. I'm happy with that. That's we still have an interplay there, which is basically looking at the generality of how it's interplaying with everything. So the interplay
is the pricing. Yeah, I don't think cost actually clarifies it very much, because premium pricing inherently is includes the concept of cost, because it's premium pricing as opposed to sale pricing.
Well, I suppose cost to one is a loss to another, isn't it? So, I mean, that will increase the cost to a brand owner, increase the revenue to a registrar and a registry,
right.
Which is the interplay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, now I see why you're phrasing it that way. Let me think about it. Now that you've explained it, I see why you've been expansive with your phrasing here. Maybe other people have thoughts on this.
I actually like the word interplay, because it not only talks about cost, but it talks about things like when I saw the word interplay, I thought of all of the aspects of the trademark clearinghouse. You have a string in the clearinghouse. Somebody can use that string and say, okay, all the strings near to those would be premium, and they can make of that. If you have people looking at seeing what happens in the trading in the clearinghouse, how many queries are made against a string, and they can use that as the basis to decide on premium pricing. So there are a whole lot of things I see around the trademark clearinghouse, and even how registries determine what they're going to do post sunrise. To me, it suggests the word interplay as a good one to use there, because there's so many aspects of it and so many layers that you could think that could initiate the thinking on premium pricing.
Yeah.
So I'll withdraw my comments then. You've persuaded me that's the right way to approach it.
But if you do think of anything, please do, because I'm more than happy to try and sort of it's deliberately there with interplay,
mm-hmm.
but it's just difficult. I did think, because I was sort of, I ended up this one, I sort of did it, my first draft of this was incredibly long, and then I started cutting it down, so it's interesting that our discussion here has almost just followed some of those, because I it goes into the enormity of it when you're looking at a registry deciding which names are premium is a very important decision for that registry. And it has an impact way outside the clearinghouse. So the clearinghouse is just a part of it. It's a piece of the jigsaw. And I do think there's an interplay with the premium pricing, but I think premium pricing interplays across the board in many, many ways of doing. And I mean, arguably, I'd say that the whole Doc Wine debacle came about because of a premium pricing suggestion on a term. That shows you where you can end up with a TLD delayed by 4 years because of a selection of a premium pricing.
Right, right.
So.
Okay. Well, as I said, you've persuaded me, so. Never let it be said that I'm dogmatic and always sticking to my guns, regardless of persuasive arguments to the contrary.
That is noted, and I will post that on Facebook later today.
you do that. Do we have other comments or questions for David?
Right, well, we'll move swiftly on then.
Right.
Good.
What is next on our agenda, Jean-Baptiste?
Hi, Lorraine. So this was the only topic on today's agenda.
Okay. Then let me ask you, just to give us the big picture, since we're ahead of schedule, which is nice. What do we still have outstanding from a safeguards and sub-team perspective in terms of action items? I know this was one of them, and we'll go to a plenary call on this, I assume. And I know we still have a consolidation that I'm handling with Jordan on some cross-cutting recommendations. But what else remains?
Okay, sure. I would just have a quick question for David on his recommendation updates for today, which would be, David, can you confirm that on your recommendation, like the success measures, the details, and the two, like to whom this recommendation is addressed, that those haven't changed?
That's a very good question. They haven't changed because I haven't.
Because you haven't changed them.
But, you know, what we could use the rest of this time and we could just run through them now. If you've got them to hand, I don't have them to hand, but, and just make sure we all agree what they should stay the same, because I don't know what, let's run through them if we agree, because it's true, I haven't had much input. I put a load in ages ago, then we changed them. So if we can focus on those for 5 minutes, that would be useful for me.
Okay. I would just need maybe just a minute or two to update your document with that, and I can forward it to everyone.
Okay. Or just run through them now if you want. What they are, I can read them out, and if we've got, because it's just who they're to, isn't it? And
whether
it's prerequisite or the other terms, I can't remember. Fine to do that as well.
Okay. Well, if you wish, I can read that out loud for. Okay. So let me have a look. For recommendation 40, so I believe in terms, so this recommendation was addressed only to ICANN organization. The level of priority was high. Details were, the evolution over time will provide a more precise picture of costs as they evolve and track the effectiveness of RPMs generally in the domain name system. Mm-hmm. And if I can just check the success measures. Okay, and the success measures were for recommendation 40. The evolution over time will provide a more precise picture of costs as they evolve and track. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry about that. So it seems
that's okay.
For both of them, that was the same. Like
both of all of them, all three.
It was the same. Yeah.
Okay. I suppose the main maybe what we can do is we can consider the details and the success measures if you want to add those in by email, and we can look at those, and then any input gratefully taken. And maybe just now we could just look at the who they're destined to and the priority, whether we still agree with those, because that's kind of the essential bits, isn't it? 40 is ICANN.org and it's high, that's fine. And 41 and 42 are presumably the same on the destination of each other, i.e. not necessarily ICANN.org. I seem to remember there's quite a few destinations there, but that's definitely included the PDP working group, but it might have included GNSO Council. I think we had GNSO Council, didn't we?
Sorry, for recommendation 40?
Recommendation 40, we've got ICANN.org and priority.
Yeah.
Priority is high.
And for recommendation 41 and 42, that's GNSO.
Yeah. It's GNSO. Okay.
Yeah.
And the priority was prerequisite or high? Prerequisite, I think.
So for recommendation 41, it was a prerequisite, and for 42 was prerequisite as well.
Okay. How does that tie in with everything else, Laureen, on the prerequisites? How many prerequisites have we got? Are we still having these as prerequisites, or do you know
it's
that?
It's very hard for me to see the big picture here when I actually don't have everything in front of me. And what this is underscoring to me is that maybe it would be more helpful for us to perhaps have Jean-Baptiste circulate a consolidated version of your revised recommendations with the success measures and everything else that they live with all together.
So we
actually have a chance to look at it in on paper or computer screen, whatever everyone's favorite modality is. And then we could, what I would suggest is that people give input via email before the next plenary. I don't want to have another safeguards call on this. What I'd like to ask people to do is give input and then be ready to discuss this at our next plenary call. Ideally circulate comments before the plenary call if you disagree with something. But as to your bigger question, David, I think that's an issue we should take up on the plenary call in general. Now that things have shifted, been consolidated and revised, you know, does everything still make sense in terms of our prioritization? I think that's an excellent point.
Okay. No, that makes very good sense. Let's do it like that. Perfect.
Okay, I'll send that around. And Lorraine, to reply to your other question in terms of what the sub-team still has as open action items. So as you mentioned, like there is the consolidation of recommendation 11, 13, 15, and 33 that where Jordan took the lead and needs to liaise with you on that. Then there was an open question to Drew, who shared recommendation A, B, and C to the review team, and I noticed that success measures were missing there.
Right.
So we would just need an update on that. And then there is recommendation D, where Drew and David need to have a discussion on this. I'm not sure I've seen any input from the review team on that in the meantime. But this is something that is currently open and to be discussed too.
Okay, the last one, can you repeat that? Can you repeat what still needs to be discussed? I know there were missing success measures, but I missed that last part.
So success measures were for recommendation A, B, and C. Those were already submitted to the review team. And then there is recommendation D, where Drew and David are still working on that. And an updated version is expected, and also Drew is working on the other recommendation that was recommendation E that was submitted as an email to Jonathan, and which was appearing in the appendix of the new sections report.
Right, and we're figuring whether that's going to now become a new recommendation or not. Okay, so can we check in with Drew then to see where things are? You probably have already done that, but if we haven't already, let's do that.
I'm on the call.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I joined really late. I had lots of audio trouble, and then by the time I joined, I didn't fully understand the context to be able to be a valid contributor,
now that you've unwisely spoken, I can put you on the spot and ask where things are.
So with regard to the success measures, I forgot to include those in that draft I sent out, so I need to go back and add those. But otherwise, those recommendations are updated with the language that we all, based on the feedback from the public comments as well as from the internal feedback that came after the public comments, so all the individual drafts and red lines I was getting from people. So all I need to do for those three then is add the success measures themselves, which then, of course, people may have feedback on those. But But in the meantime, everyone can weigh in on the substance of the recommendations themselves. And I was at a conference all week, so I've not done that yet. And then David and I need to get together about E, and then E is just a matter of finalizing who to direct it to, and that's one of those things that, you know, is actually kind of tied to current events as far as some of this Whois stuff, because it would be an entry that would, could be in Whois, or could be in some other form in terms of the reseller information.
Okay. So is it reasonable to expect that we'll hear from you both on those issues next week for circulation?
Yeah, definitely for the success measures, those will be there. And then recommendation E, David and I, David, you've seen the latest version of D, but we haven't discussed anything yet, and we haven't really incorporated a bunch of the things we talked about.
Mm-hmm. I've been working on the case study to put in. So,
okay, great.
Case study. We need to just bounce around between us, then ideally we said we'd bounce it around the subgroup team.
Yep.
Because then we'll get a discussion on this group, so we've got other input before we go plenary is what we. That was our timing on this, so that would probably indicate we need another subgroup team to discuss that. Lorene, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Even if it's a short one. You know, it could even be a half-hour one, and just to get that one, because I think we do need everyone's input from this team.
That's mm-hmm. fine. Okay.
As well,
so,
specifically because Calvin's on this team as well, isn't he? And he's got the sort of the registry input, which would certainly help to stress test where we're going. I.e. stress and test Calvin.
Exactly.
Yes, I think so. So let's try for as early next week as we can to get those circulated, because if we can get it circulated early enough in the week, then we can have another sub-team call perhaps on this, you know, on a Thursday to deal with it. Does that sound reasonable?
Good. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's Easter Monday as well, though. So might we're gonna have a short window, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Sure.
And of course, everyone's desperate for everything because everyone's gone on holiday for Friday and Monday. So I know my Tuesday after Easter. I'm used to this now, with everybody in the US wakes up and screams for things. So I tend to find myself disappearing on 2 days of frenzy.
You know how irate anyway. We Americans are.
Absolutely. When you come back from Easter, it's always the
way. Hey, you know what, Jason? Just because you're not, you know, no one ever gave you an Easter basket doesn't mean you need to be bitter.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Easter,
I never get an Easter egg either. I'd just like to point out I've never had a client send me an Easter egg yet. But there you go. I'm just saying.
They you come throw eggs at you, but
eggs.
No Easter eggs. Okay. So I think unless... Jean-Baptiste, do we have anything else to cover? Because otherwise I will say that David and Drew, you now have about 20 minutes where you could collaborate together, since this call was scheduled to go to 11, if you like.
Oh, God. Please, yes, Drew, let's get on a video link immediately.
Okay. Well, I think then, unless anyone else has any other comments or questions, going once, then I will wish everyone happy holidays, happy Easter, happy Passover, happy holidays that I am not identifying because I don't know about, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lorene.
Bye all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.